span of time about contending with the flesh, I've got a testimony, and I've got to admit that it's a bit more fleshly than some of the ones that we've heard already, because I want to say what a fantastic time we had at the lunch last week at Ken and Mary's. You know, once a month we have a lunch and we invite people to come along and bring something to share. And it was fabulous. I'll tell you, every week or every month is just superb. And I'm, you know, I have got a reason to share this, but one of the things I want to do is to make you all jealous and say, oh, I could have gone to that, you know, but I forgot, or whatever it is, or I didn't think I'd be welcome, or, but you would be very welcome. And they're a great time of just sitting and eating together, of sharing jokes and laughing, sharing news and clearing up sick. Because unfortunately, Warren and Jocelyn's little one wasn't all that well. But it was a fantastic time. So I want to make you all jealous, and I want you to all sort of sit there thinking, yeah, well, the next time they have one of those lunches, I'm really going to go. Because I tell you, it was fantastic. There was bowls of curry and chili, and there were samosas and different types of rice and quiche. I mean, there's no Christian lunch is complete without a quiche, is it? So wonderful quiche and chocolate. Oh, yeah, bread and butter pudding. God, glory. It was absolutely fantastic. And as usual, you know, my eyes was bigger than my belly, and I went home feeling, you know, anybody feel like that ever? I do, yeah. It was exactly the same last time. You know, I started off by having just one plate full of stuff. I thought, I'll take it easy. And having eaten that, I thought, well, I'll go and see if there's some more, and add some more, and you know. So it was just fantastic. And just as I thought about what I was going to share today, you know, and thinking about that introduction, just reminded me of my first mission trip to India. Don't ask me the year, because I can never remember, you know, past last month or last week. But I remember going on our first mission trip to India, and I went with another guy called Tom. That made it easy for them. We were the Tom Toms. And I had my guitar, and I was trying to encourage them all to dance, and so, you know, it sort of name somehow was quite appropriate. But the first place we went to was right down in the south of India, in Coimbatore. And I tell you, the lady there was so, well, she was very used to dealing with American and UK visitors, but somehow, I don't know how she did it, she conned us into getting on the scales the day that we arrived. And she wrote down how much we weighed. Yeah? And then 1 week later, when we left their place, you know, she did it so subtly. I mean, I really don't know, but guess what? Back on the scales, making sure that we hadn't lost any weight while she was looking after us. Yeah, I hadn't. But anyway, so I just want to encourage people about that. Now, I've got to say as well, I mean, I did say something last week about how encouraged I am at the increasing levels of involvement amongst all of the folk here. I think it's absolutely fantastic. Under an Open Heaven was an absolutely amazing stuff, and I was just so knocked out that so many of the Slough folk were there and doing stuff. So I want to, you know, give you all a pat on the back for that. That was fantastic. But it's not just those big meetings, it's every Sunday. It was just such a blessing to come in here today and see the chairs all, you know, mostly put back to the wall and set out for us when we arrived. And, you know, those that come early to help with the PA, thanks Craig, and bringing the flowers and these lovely banners. Do you like this? Look, woof, I know my master's voice. We're so enriched by the people that help us do the teas and coffee, do the children's work, and do the security. I mean, Mike's outside at the moment. He should be standing by the door so that he can hear what's being said. But Kevin's there as well. Oh, okay. Oh, well, they're having some fellowship out by the front door. Well, that's fantastic, isn't it? So thanks to everyone that help in that way. Thanks to those who open their homes to look after us when we have our small groups in the midweek, and to Warren and Jocelyn said their kids were not very well in the week, and then Jocelyn caught it, so that's probably why they're not here today. But they're running the Freedom in Christ course at the moment, and to everyone, and those that meet on a Friday for prayer, we really appreciate you. And we've had some amazing meetings lately, haven't we? And we had that fantastic session of worship with Roy Fields in the Magnet when our own Paul Lane was there. That was the first date that he played with Roy Fields, wasn't it? And it's been all around the country and Ireland, with Roy. And it's been fantastic. That was a wonderful time of worship with them. We've had some amazing prophetic words that have come through Jim Paul. Do you remember when we had Jim Paul here? Oh, brilliant. I don't think I hope I'll never forget that, I certainly got a prophecy that I want to remember. Part of it relates to my love of curry. You remember that? Did I share that? Shared that already. Said I've got to get used to eating curry. Well, that's not going to be a hardship, really. But and then we had that conference, with that amazing teaching from Bill Johnson and Cheyenne, and the healings that followed that. We've even had, healings that are following the words of knowledge that have been brought in our own meetings. So it's just amazing, the meetings that we've been having. But if we're honest, we can come to meetings like that sometimes, and we can get really excited by what God is doing amongst us. We can rejoice with those that get in touch by God, and somehow, or sometimes, we just go home feeling lonely and unloved and with the same old problems that we had when we came in. Which is why we place, as a church, such a high priority on relationships, on community, on loving each other, on being family. And it's in the small meetings, isn't it, that we, in the one-to-ones, that we can care for each other, that we can find out where we're at, and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, that we can pray with each other and encourage each other. And we can just bless each other, can't we? And it's in those times. So I just, in passing, want to encourage you, if you don't at the moment come to a midweek meeting, it's a great place to come. And we would love to see you. We have some good times of worship and times of sharing, and sometimes we open up the Word, and Colin Barnes is coming along and teaching us from Ephesians, which has been fantastic. So those are good times together. So just sort of getting more into it now. I spoke in September about preparing for growth and talking about our God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit just being a community, just being so loving of each other, and how God's heart was to reproduce those same feelings in our own situations, in our own homes, and in our own communities. And so I quoted then a number of verses from John, if you remember, and showed some pictures which caused some amusement. But it was all about love and community. I encouraged each other to love each other. Hello. Oh. When you see the sound man walking towards you, you wonder what's going on. I hope you remember that. If you didn't and you'd like to catch it, it is on the web. If you know how to get into that, then all the meetings that we record are on there. And since then, since that time, I talked about being community, and I really felt it on my heart that we would continue during the rest of this year to think about community. And since then, Colin Barnes came over, and we was on holiday, so I can't really tell you too much about what he spoke about, but I know that he spoke about loving each other and about not devouring each other with our words. I'm not sure that that's on the website. I looked for it and I couldn't find that one. And then a couple of weeks ago we had Judith Forster come over, and she shared about encouraging each other, didn't she? And to build a community amongst us and the kingdom of God in Slough, which have been great. So community is very much on God's heart. And today I want to speak about another aspect of community, and that is hospitality. Okay, who knows that Jesus loved eating and drinking with people? Yeah, I think everybody knows that. He set the precedent, didn't he? His very first miracle was when he turned the water into wine, and not just a cheap old plonk, you know, but into really first-class wine. We see him multiplying food so that 5,000 men and their families, how many people? 12,000 people perhaps, were fed with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. And then again, you know, a little later, he fed 4,000 with just 7 loaves. We see him responding to Zacchaeus, don't we? When he said, come and eat with me. And he said, okay. Tax collector, a sinner. People that, you know, didn't used to go near him. But Jesus went and he ate with him. And Jesus is often recorded as eating and drinking with people. In fact, Jesus himself acknowledges that people called him a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of sinners and tax collectors. You sometimes feel the tax collector gets a bit of a rough deal, but I mean, you understand what the point of that. Jesus was called by some as a drunkard and a glutton. I'm sure he wasn't a drunkard, but neither do I believe that the wine in those days used to be without alcohol. So Jesus used to drink. That's my excuse. So who wants to be a friend of Jesus? Well, let's get round the table and eat together. Amen? Let's be hospitable people. Let's practice hospitality. And I mean, one of the marks of the journey is their social ties that you have together. I always remember they used to meet in the pub, take part in karaoke's. Still do. Fantastic. So let's be hospitable to each other. You know, the 20th century theologian, you always have to drop a bit like this in, don't you? Commentary author William Barclay said that Christianity should be characterized by the open hand, the open heart, and the open door. It's good, isn't it? And hospitality, of course, was one of the distinctives of the early church. Acts 2 tells us that they met together in the temple courts and broke bread in their homes and ate together. So perhaps we might say we're in the temple courts at the moment, but they ate together in their homes and broke bread. And Paul wrote quite a lot about hospitality, actually. And I was going to bring the other Bible, but I realised that how many times you make that mistake, you sort of prepare a word in one Bible and then you bring out a different one, and somehow the words are all there, but they're perhaps in a slightly different order. Romans 12 verse 13 says, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. And this passage is headed up love in my Bible. So Paul's talking about love, and what's he say? Share with people who are in need and practice hospitality. But, you know, we're English and we're not always good at sharing our needs, are we, with each other? Good heavens, man. I'm British. Stiff upper lip. I'm jolly well not going to ask for help. What? Show my needs to others? Never. But actually, that's not the biblical way, really. One of the greatest things about being in the body is that we love each other and we can share our needs with each other. We can rejoice with those who rejoice. It says it in the passage that we just read a little bit further down. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Now, I know that we all would all like to be moving more and more in the gifts of knowledge, okay? That you look at somebody and God says, oh yeah, well that person needs prayer for such and such. But we'd like to be doing that more and more, but wouldn't it be easier actually if people said, well actually I do have a need, and it's this, and share our needs so that people can pray with us and so that people can help us, allow people to get close to us, and then be blessed by the care that the body brings. Romans 16 verse 23 as well. Why am I in 2 Corinthians? Romans 16 commends Gaius, whose put my teeth back in, Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, send you his greetings. You know, one of the things that Paul Lane said about one of the churches that he went to, and particularly one church, he said they really hosted us well. And that's part of his story, and so hopefully he can unpack some of that, you know, when he talks about his trip. But that's the sort of people that we want to be. People that host each other well. People that host the Holy Spirit well. And I'm sure that as we do that, then the Holy Spirit is made welcome in people's lives. That trip to India that I spoke of earlier holds another few memories for me. And, you know, it was my first trip to India, and neither Tom nor I, it was his first trip as well. His wife had been once, but he hadn't been. So it was a bit of a first for both of us. And now I guess that we really didn't expect multi-pocket sprung divans. You know, you don't sort of think about those things, do you, when you go to bed? But, you know, we just take that sort of stuff for granted over here. But when you go over there and you find you've got sort of boards covered with a 1-inch thick sort of straw mattress or whatever it was not comfortable. And I didn't say anything, but Tom said about, I found it really difficult to sleep. He said, yeah, you know what they did? They brought in thicker mattresses, and not just one each, but two each. And it did make life a lot more tolerable. As I say, they were quite used to dealing with English visitors and American visitors, and every afternoon they used to bring us or give us tea, and they used to send out to the English baker and bring in cakes, and we'd have afternoon tea and cake. Except one day the English baker was closed, so they went to a different baker, and as they cut into this cake, so a whole bunch of little ants all started running across the plate, and they all pretended they didn't see anything, you know, and we just sort of carefully broke pieces off and ate them. That was great, though. They gave us Cadbury smashed potato and plain meat every night. Well, you're English, you know. You don't eat curry, and they're tucking into these bowls of curry and rice. And it took us a little while to get through to them that actually we did like eating curry and rice, even if it did mean eating it with our fingers. But there you go. But we did commend them. You know, they was trying to be sensitive. I know a lot of visitors over there, they just don't like curry. And so that's what they were trying to do. Actually, I was. There are a few nutritional things that, you know, if you're going to entertain strangers, aliens, that we need to be aware of. Okay. First of all, the Japanese eat very little fat and suffer fewer heart attacks than the British or Americans. Okay. On the other hand, the French eat a lot of fat and also suffer fewer heart attacks than British and Americans. The Japanese drink very little red wine, and they suffer fewer heart attacks than the British or the Americans. Whereas the Italians drink excessive amounts of wine, and they also suffer fewer heart attacks than British or Americans. The conclusion is, it's not what you eat and drink, it's speaking in English that kills you. Well, 1 Timothy 5:10. He moved seamlessly. 1 Timothy 5:10. In fact, reading from verse 9, no widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. You know, in those days when this was written, it probably was pretty drastic. You know, when a widow was at this point, she probably had no means of support, unless she had children that was able to care for her and look after her. But nevertheless, it's a qualification for widows getting on the widow's list. And just reminded me of the story in 1 Kings. This is a real story. Okay, this is not a funny story, but the real story in 1 Kings, which tells of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. remember he asked her for a drink of water. And she said, well, he said, and by the way, would you bring us a piece of bread? And she said, well, actually, I've just got nothing really. I've just got enough for one more meal for me and my son. And after that, we're just going to die. But she recognized the anointing that was on the prophet. And she said, but yeah, come. And she gave him her last meal. And who knows what happened? God miraculously provided for her and her son. The oil never ran out. The bread never ran out. She carried on feeding because she was hospitable to the prophet. And just felt like I needed to say that whilst River Church doesn't have a widow's list as such, we really don't want to see people out on the street and starving. Okay, and there have been occasions where we've been able to help folk that are in need. And so if you're getting close to that point, then please talk to me or somebody in leadership, and let's help where we can. 1 Peter 4 verse 9. Getting close. 4 verse 9. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. It's talking about loving each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. The whole chapter, in fact, is about how we can live righteous lives for Jesus, for God. Okay. Jesus has suffered for our sakes, and we've already heard that this morning, haven't we? Died on the cross to deal with our sin, so we should, and are able, in fact, to live to please the will of God. And Peter tells us that we could use our resources to please ourselves in the way of the world, but says instead that we should be clear-minded and self-controlled so that we can pray and to love each other deeply. Because love covers a multitude of sin. Let's use our gifts and our talents, you know, that God has given us so that God may be praised through Christ Jesus. And even as he writes this, so Peter just overflows. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. That's the response that just overflows, you know, as we are generous, as we are open-hearted, open-handed. It just resounds with love for God. And of course I know, I see Aileen looking at me back there. I'm saying this not because we're not doing it, but because we've got a way to go. And I know we've been so blessed by a number of you here that have opened your homes to us, and that's fantastic. But I think there's more to be done. 3 John verse 8. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, so that we may work together for the truth. Show hospitality to the apostles and those that bring God's word to us. Now, help send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. Now, just want to add that please don't all rush up to me at the end of the meeting and say, well, come back to lunch, because I've got to say that this week we do have a lunch invitation. So we're looking forward to going out for lunch after this meeting. But what about those that serve us in other ways in the meeting? And the PA guys, Craig's not listening, is here 9 o'clock every morning. He's the last to leave usually, 1 o'clock. Wouldn't it be great if the folk that serve us in this way didn't have to worry about going home and start to cook? Because some people are looking after them. And 1 Timothy. Back to 1 Timothy, chapter 3 and verse 2. talking about the qualifications for overseers and deacons. Now the overseer must be above reproach, the husband above one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, and all that stuff, but hospitable. It's a qualification for leadership in the church. It's maybe not so easy when you live 15 miles away from the congregation, as we do, but I hope that doesn't stop you from popping in and seeing us from time to time, because we'd love to see you. We will get around to inviting everybody, but don't feel that you need an invite to come. You'd be very welcome to come and see us. Okay. The word hospitality is Greek, and it's drawn from two words. It means from philos, meaning dear, a friend, and from xenos, meaning alien or guest. It's all about loving strangers. And if we practice hospitality, then hopefully those strangers won't stay strangers for long. Amen. The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 13 says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some people have entertained angels without knowing it. It's great to hear the angels story that you told this morning, Kerry. Glory. Wouldn't it be wonderful? God is such a generous God. He gave up everything for us, incarnated himself as a man, Jesus Christ, lived amongst us to show us how we can live righteous lives in a corrupt generation, and speaking of his approaching death on the cross, where he went, he took our sins, our shame, the separation that we have between ourselves and the Father in heaven. And he said it's better that he should go, because he's going to go and prepare a room for us in heaven. Jesus is preparing a room for us in heaven. And the word that's translated here as room means a staying, a residence, an abode, and it's even translated by some as a mansion. I quite like that. I fancy a mansion, as long as I don't have to clean it or pay for the heating. Oh, glory. And Jesus goes on to say that he's going to come back for us and take us to be there, because he wants to be with us and he wants us to enjoy that heavenly abode with him. Now, I know that we can't be bosom buddies with everybody in the church. You know, there are personalities, and let's face it, you know, our personalities are still being worked upon. But the day is coming when we're going to be spending eternity together. And that's going to be a glorious day. But we can start practicing that now. Until then, Jesus says, if anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Giving a cup of cold water to someone because he is my disciple. Just, have a look around. Who don't you know? How about inviting them home for lunch? Who do you work alongside? Have you asked them to come and eat with you, with your family? You know, there are angels out there. And who knows, as we invite some of these folk in, and we love them, we'd be surprised at what God reveals and what God does. So that's the end of my short message on hospitality. It's over to you now, guys, I guess. But Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, that you have just sent your love into our hearts, Lord God, the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who just convicts us of the truth. And Father, we pray, Lord God, that you would enable us by your Holy Spirit to help build our community, Lord God, to help build this place of love, a friendship, a fellowship, Lord God, a sense of family amongst us, Lord, that we might open our homes to each other, open our hands, open our hearts to each other, Lord God, and that we, in so doing, we might glorify the name of Jesus. Father, we do thank you for each other. Thank you for those that you've called to be part of this church. Thank you that for those that you are calling to be part of this church. And Lord, just thinking about that, Lord, I just want to pray for all those cards that we posted through the doors yesterday morning. Father God, I pray, Lord, that Lord, that those homes would be just infected by the love that prompted us to post them through the doors. And Lord, we pray that you would build your church. Build your church, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Amen.